Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. If you were to ask me what is the one consistent theme throughout the entire Bible, I would say three words: sin, judgment, grace. For instance, Adam and Eve. They sinned. They ate the fruit. Judgment. They got kicked out of the garden. Grace. God made them clothing. Let's talk about Noah. Sin. The entire world had sinned. Judgment. God wipes them out with a flood. Grace, God chooses Noah and his family, and he starts over with the human race. Tower of Babel, sin. They're building a tower into heaven in pride. Judgment, God confuses their languages. Grace, he chooses Abraham, and God starts the chosen people, the Jews. Let's go to King David. Sin, David commits adultery and murder. Judgment, God slays their firstborn son. Grace, God gives them another son, Solomon. Let's go to the New Testament. Peter, sin. Peter denies Jesus three times. Judgment, Peter has horrible guilt and weeps for what he's done. Grace, God turns Peter into the leader of the new Christian church. The big one in the Bible, sin. We've all sinned. And then judgment. God puts Jesus on the cross, and Jesus bears the penalty for all sin ever committed. And grace, now those who believe in the Lord Jesus will be forgiven and saved. And then at the very end of time, sin, we all will stand before God because of our sin. Judgment, we stand before Jesus on Judgment Day. And then on Judgment Day, there will be great grace, forgiveness of sins for all who put their trust in Jesus. I'm guessing if you've been a Christian for a while, you've got your own personal sin where you did something wrong, judgment where God corrected you, but then grace, He showed you His mercy through it all. What we're going to do in this program is talk about one sin, judgment, grace story, the story of Cain and Abel. Would you take out your Bible? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, the first brothers, and let's pray. Father, we pray for everyone watching this program. If they think they're too sinful to be forgiven and saved, we pray that the story of Cain will show that You're a merciful God who forgives sins. Speak to us now through this old story in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now the man, that's Adam, of course, had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, the first son. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel. So these are the first brothers. And Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portion. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, God had no regard. All right, so remember, it's sin, judgment, grace. What was Cain's sin? We're going to count eight of them. The first one right here is this. Cain perhaps just gave leftovers. It says his brother Abel gave the first, you know, the fat portions, which is the good stuff for a banquet or for a sacrifice. Doesn't say that about Cain. So perhaps Cain's first sin, he just gave the leftovers. Let's look at his next sin, verse 5. But for Cain and his offering, God had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Here's the second sin of Cain, jealousy. He's jealous now of his brother. His next sin, well, actually, the third sin of Cain, you don't find this in Genesis 4. Thousands and thousands of years later, in the New Testament, John is writing 1 John 3, where he says this, "Why did Cain kill Abel? Because his own deeds were evil, and his brother's were righteous." The third sin of Cain was he wanted to get rid of someone more righteous than himself. Abel is the first martyr in the Bible. He died because of his righteousness. All right, back to the list of Cain's sins in Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at verse 6. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance, your face fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, your sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.'" And there's the next sin of Cain. He failed to master his sin. Next sin is verse 8. "And Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about that while they were in the field, Cain rose up." And there's the next sin of Cain. He ignored God's warning and word. God had warned him, sin's crouching at the gate. You got to fight your sin. He said, "Brother, let's go out in the field." And then the big sin came in verse 8. "And Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." There's the next sin, the big sin of Cain is murder. But it keeps going, another sin, verse 9. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother? Where is Abel, your brother?' And he said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?'" So next sin, he's lying. One last sin of Cain that, again, you don't find in Genesis 4. You don't find till the New Testament, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years later. And it says this in Hebrews chapter 11. "By faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he, Abel, received his approval as righteous, God bearing witness by accepting Abel's gifts. Abel died, but through his faith he is still speaking." So Abel had faith. So what did Cain have? The opposite. Here's the last sin of Cain, doubt. Martin Luther said that doubt is the root of every sin. And think about that. Every time I sin, it's because somewhere I'm believing my way is better than God's way. Let me repeat that. Whenever you sin, it's because you're doubting that God's way is better than your way. Well, those are the eight sins of Cain. Now remember, the theme is sin, judgment, grace. Was there judgment on Cain? Well, there sure was. Two things happened. Look at verse 10. "And God said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground now, it will no longer yield its strength to you.'" So here's the first judgment. No crops. Cain the farmer isn't going to be a farmer anymore because God will now not allow crops to grow. And then there's a second judgment. "You shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth." So the second judgment on Cain is he'll be a fugitive. He'll be roaming the world the rest of his life. So we've got sin. We've got judgment. Was there grace for Cain? Well, look at Genesis 4, starting now at verse 13. "And Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden. And I shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and it will come about that whoever finds me will kill me.' So the Lord said to him, 'Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold.' And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain," maybe we don't know what that was, a mark or something, "lest anyone finding him should slay him." So here's the grace, the mark of protection. Even though Cain had sinned horribly, God still showed grace, put protection over him for the rest of his life. Well, that is the sin, judgment, grace story of Cain. What I want to do for the last part of this sermon is just share with you some lessons I get for our lives from the life of Cain and Abel. Lesson number one, take care not to pass your sin on to your children. Adam and Eve obviously passed their sin on to Cain and Abel, their first children. And this is called original sin, that Adam and Eve sinned, and they passed their sin on to everybody and were born sinners. Now, you can't totally keep yourself from passing your sin on to your kids, but you can try. I mean, I remember a lady that went to our church a little bit, but her daughter came to church regularly in confirmation. Our youth director had to confront the mom because she was smoking pot with her teenage daughter. Mom was passing her rebellion on to her kids. When I was 9 years old, I found my dad's pornography in the garage. That messed me up. And are you passing your sin on to your children? Yesterday, I walked into the Minneapolis Public Library, the Brookdale Hennepin Library by my house. Not one, five big displays of gay, lesbian, transgender books. Now, they had a gay prom at the Minneapolis Public School for teenagers. When did you ever hear of a library putting on a prom? Well, they'll do it if they've got an agenda. And I have complained about this library before and got nowhere. And so I thought, I won't do it again. But when I saw five displays up, it's like something came over me. I went to the librarian and I said, five LGBT displays up? And I said to her, I have personally same-sex attraction. I don't go there because I'm a Christian, but I have that pull. I said, not one of these books represents my point of view. There is no inclusivity and diversity at this library. And she said, well, we like to support people. You know, I'm a people. You don't support me. And we've got a whole generation pushing rebellion and sin onto the kids. Some of those displays were aimed at children. Listen, Mom and Dad, we live in a day and age where you have to talk to your kids about sin. I mean, most of my friends told me growing up, my mom and dad have never said a word. We can't do that anymore. If your kids don't hear from you that sex is for marriage only, heterosexual marriage only, they're not going to hear it anywhere. They'll get something from Planned Parenthood or MTV or from your local library. Mom and dad, make sure you have the talk. Try not to pass your rebellion and sin on to your children. Well, yeah, but Pastor Brock, I sinned sexually before my marriage, so who am I to tell my kids they can't? You have to. Just if you have to say, look, I blew it, but I don't want that for you, dear, do that, but have the talk. Beware of passing your sin on to your kids. Next lesson I get from Cain and Abel. Do you give first fruits or leftovers? How do you give? I've been a pastor many years. You know the best month for giving. It's always December. And some people see what's left over, and whatever's left over, they give that to God at the end of the year. That shows no faith. Instead, give to God every week. That shows faith that I trust God's going to take care of me. A pig and a hen are walking down the street. They look up. Here's a big billboard. Egg and ham breakfast ahead. And the hen says, well, Mr. Pig, do you want to go? And the pig says, oh, no. For you to go, it's a contribution. For me, it's a sacrifice. How do you give? You just give now and then at the end of the year, or do you consistently have a sacrificial giving in your life for the Lord? There are two gravestones in England. One grave says this, here lies a miser who lived for himself and cared for nothing but gathering wealth. Now where he is or how he fares, nobody knows and nobody cares. But there's a second gravestone in England, sacred to the memory of Charles George Gordon, who at all times and everywhere gave his strength to the weak, his substance to the poor, his sympathy to the suffering, and his heart to God. Now, which of those two gravestones are you? Many years ago, an Indian chief accepted Christ. And he gave very generous amounts to the missionaries. And one day the missionary said, well, thank you for your generous giving, but why do you give so much? And the Indian chief said to the missionary, ah, you have never been in the darkness, have you? And you know why we give? Because I was in the darkness and Jesus saved me from the darkness. Next lesson from Cain and Abel. Fight to master your sin. God said, Cain, sin's crouching at the door. You got to fight to master your sin. There is a fight to the Christian life. Paul the Apostle said this in 1 Corinthians 9, I beat my body. I make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Christians, you got to fight your sin. That was Cain's problem. He didn't. And listen, I've been a Christian many years. I still have to fight my sin, which is why I have covenant eyes on my computer, and I also have it on my iPhone to keep me from looking at stuff I shouldn't. I have an accountability partner who prays with me, and we hold each other accountable. And you got to fight till the day you die. You got to fight your sin. Next lesson from Cain. Are you ignoring God's word and warning? God warned Cain, sin's crouching. You got to fight your sin, and he ignored it. Let me ask you this. How much dust is on your Bible? Do you read God's word daily, or do you ignore it? There's a couple sayings I love. One is, the Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And here's another saying. Either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Don't be Cain. Don't ignore God's word. I hope you read your Bible every day. Next lesson I learned from Cain. We are our brother's keeper. Remember Cain's snippy answer to God. Well, how do I know where Cain is? What am I, my brother's keeper? And the answer is, why, yes, Cain, you are. And do you know that, Christian, you are your brother's keeper? Jesus said in Luke 17, if your brother sins, rebuke him. In other words, if you see me sinning, it's your job, Christian, to humbly, lovingly say, you know, Tom, you shouldn't be doing that. Next sin, next lesson from Cain and Abel. Innocent blood cries out to God. Abel's blood cried out to the Lord. I couldn't help but think of the United States and all the millions of abortions we have had in this nation. Do you know now in New York City, more black babies are aborted in New York City than are born alive? Margaret Sanger's dream has come true. Do you know who she was? She was the racist founder of Planned Parenthood back in the early 1900s, and she was a racist. Well, her dream has come true, and more black babies are killed in the womb in New York City than are born alive. Next lesson from Cain. God can judge through hardship. Now, Cain, you're not going to get crops anymore. And this is not always true, but Christian, even for a believer in Christ, sometimes God uses hardship to discipline us. There's an old saying, some people only look up when they're lying on their back. And, you know, as a pastor, you visit the hospitals a lot, and I've done that for years, and I can attest, some people only look up to God when they're lying on their back. I had a man ask me, you know, when we went through that horrible COVID, do you think COVID was from God? And I said, I think God does all things to get our attention. Last lesson from Cain and Abel. God has mercy on sinners. God still protected Cain. Somebody asked me, if you commit murder, can you go to heaven? And I said, you'll see King David in heaven, who committed murder and adultery. You'll see the Apostle Paul in heaven who persecuted Christians. So, yes, there is a merciful God that we serve. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church in England in the 1700s. He was known for the purity of his life. On his 75th birthday, he wrote this in his diary, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." So I'm going to close now, but the main thing I hope you get from the story of Cain killing Abel is this. God is merciful towards sinners. This woman comes up after church, "Pastor Brock, I got to talk to you about something." She was troubled, and we knelt at the altar. And years ago, I had an abortion, and it just so troubles me what I did. And so I just assured her that Christ died for what she did. Yes, it was horrible, but all of our sins are horrible in God's sight. There is forgiveness with the Lord. So my hope is that no matter what sins you may have committed and you think you're too evil for the Lord, think of David, think of Cain, think of the Apostle Paul. When you are sorry for your sins and you come to Christ, we serve a forgiving, merciful Savior. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question, where did Cain get his wife?
Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel. And so it says this in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. Then, after he killed Cain and got judged, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, left his family, and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, or had sex with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And unbelievers like that verse because they think it means, well, this is a mistake. If they're the only people on earth, how did he find a wife in the land of Nod? Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't say he found a wife in the land of Nod. It said he knew his wife, had sex with his wife in the land of Nod. So I think what happened, again, the Bible doesn't spell out everything. Adam and Eve had other children. And yes, incest is wrong. You don't marry your sister. But in the very first family, it looks like Cain probably married his sister, went to the land of Nod, and that's where they had Enoch as a baby. So, again, the Bible doesn't clearly spell all this out, but that's probably what happened.
Could God have created more people?
He could have, but, again, that's not said. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Where is the land of Nod?
All it says here is it's east of Eden, Garden of Eden. And so where else, we don't know anything else about the land of Nod. Mm-hmm. Again, when the Bible is clear and tells us, we do it. People that drive me, pastors, preachers on TV that drive me nuts, they can tell you exactly where the land of Nod is. No, they can't. They can tell you exactly how the second coming is going to happen. No, they can't. Mm-hmm. People that put too much on, you know, if it's your opinion, tell us that. Mm-hmm. Like I just said, it's my opinion that he married his sister. Does it say that? No. Mm-hmm. So at least be a little tentative about it.
So Nod isn't mentioned in other parts of the Bible?
I don't think so. I think that's the only place. I'd have to look it up. But
okay.
Yeah.
What if I can't bring myself to believe that God has indeed forgiven my sins?
Yeah, Cain killed his brother. And sometimes when we do a grievous sin, we wonder, can God forgive that? Mm-hmm. Well, I would encourage somebody to do two things. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So make sure you claim 1 John 1:9. God, I might not feel forgiven, but I do believe Jesus died for me. But the second thing I would say, every Christian needs a priest. Now, I don't mean a literal priest necessarily, but either your priest or your pastor or a good Christian friend. Mm-hmm. We need to confess our sins to one another is what James chapter 5 says. And so, I know my sins are forgiven, but often it's good for me to confess to another Christian just to hear them say, "Tom, your sins are forgiven. I have a prayer partner who does that for me." So that's healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some pastors teach that God is never the cause of things like disease, hurricanes, floods, etc. Is this true?
Well, in our story today, God made it so Cain couldn't grow crops anymore. Mm-hmm. And some pastors, our loving God would never send a tornado. Have you read the Bible? I mean, for instance, who rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah? It says God did that. Mm-hmm. Who is it that hit Pharaoh with all those plagues? It says God did that. Who is it that flooded the world during Noah's time? It says God flooded the world. And Amos chapter 3, verse 6, quote, "Can disaster come against a city unless the Lord has done it?" So yes, God is in control of these things. Even in the New Testament, the Corinthians, some of them, are getting drunk on Holy Communion. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, that's why some of you are sick and dying. And in the book of Acts, proud King Herod comes out with his robes, and people proclaim Herod to be God, and he accepts the worship. And it says an angel of the Lord struck Herod and killed him. So yes, God does do these kinds of things. Yeah.
All right. You said on your TV program that even a murderer can go to heaven. How is that fair? What about all the suffering he has caused?
Well, Mona, I've said before on this show, a man that didn't like it when I said if Ted Bundy really repented before the electric chair, he's in heaven. This guy said, that's not fair. My point is, do you want fairness? I mean, you haven't killed people, but you've done enough. Do we ask for fairness on Judgment Day? We want mercy from the Lord.
Amen.
So, and you know, also, I think I saw this on the same week. There was on the news, here's a man who killed this person's sister. And then the family gets up at the end and gives their response. And one guy said, I hope you burn in hell for what you did to my sister. Same week, somebody else gets killed and on the trial, and the mother maybe gets up and says, you know, you've just ruined our family. You've hurt us so, but we're Christian people, and God commands us to forgive you, so we do, and we hope you will come to Christ before you die. Now, which of those two families is free? It's the second family. So if you've experienced horrible tragedy in your life by some criminal, you're going to be more free if before the Lord you say, God, I don't like this, I can't handle this, but in your strength and power, I forgive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we have time for one quick one?
I think we do.
I was baptized as a baby in the Methodist Church. If I wasn't submerged, should I be baptized again?
Yeah, the word baptizo in Greek means to submerge, but not always, because the same word, baptizo, is when Jesus says to the Pharisees, you wash your hands, same word. So I think... if you've been baptized, if water was used and you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's a real baptism. I mean, I like to totally immerse adults because of the symbolism, dead to sin, alive to God. But you still get baptized if total water isn't put over the very top of your head. Yeah.
Okay. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks for joining us today. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.